Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Well, hello, 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 Divine Ones. It's wonderful to welcome you to this edition of the Divine Biz Radio Show. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm your host, Reverend Ann Presswell, and I want to welcome, first of all, my wonderful producer, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello, Reverend Ann. Happy, 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 as always, and really excited about the show.
Oh, yay, me too, me too. And welcome, Stephanie. I'm really excited to welcome Stephanie Jo Johnson here to the call today. We're going to talk about the powerful divorce and how that shows up, what power is, and how, you know, I mean, frankly, we all go through a whole lot of little divorces all the time in our lives, but, you know, she definitely knows what it is to be powerful in the face of incredible circumstances. But before we bring Stephanie on, I want to just invite you all to take a moment and get present and really understand just what you're doing here today, what you're going to get, set an intention for what you'd like to learn, how you'd like to move that into a new space. You'd like to move your understanding and your consciousness into a new place of being. A new place of awareness. And so we say thank you, thank you, thank you for this awareness and consciousness that we have, that we are bringing to the call today. I'm going to bring forward a pull an angel card because, you know, it was such a great idea a couple weeks ago and I keep forgetting to do it. So, Elizabeth, thank you for reminding me.
My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Closing my eyes now. Interesting. So the card is magnetic marketing, and I think it's a perfect card for what we're going to be talking about today because this, you know, the affirmation on it is I'm always guided as I market my business. Marketing is fun and easy, and I am irresistible. And, the funny thing is about marketing, you have to stand in your power in order to be marketing your work. You have to own your power. You have to really connect with it and not be afraid of it. Be really powerful in who you are as you share your gifts with the world. So it's a perfect segue into our call today. And let me just welcome Stephanie. She's, you know, Stephanie is on a mission to change the face of divorce. Now, divorce, like the real, you know, live, yes, I'm leaving you, that's it, I'm out of here, or, oh my gosh, he left me, or she left me, as the case may be. I'm out of here, you know, they're out of here, now what am I going to do? So she wants to inspire. Her mission is to inspire and empower women to step into their power, to create the life they deserve after the devastation of divorce. She helps them remove the blocks that are holding them back from really and truly living. By using their inner power with intention and awareness, they become more confident, more sexy, and powerful. And, you know, that goes back to our magnetic marketing card easily, because really understanding that standing in your power is really what it's all about. And no matter what happens, if you have a team member that leaves you, oh, my God, that would be awful. If you and it is devastating. I mean, you really do have to pick up the pieces. Or if you let go of the team member, it's really tough because then you have, you know, a lot of adjusting. Whether you are losing a partner in your business or whether you're losing a partner in your life, you want to be able to stand in your power. So we're going to have a great conversation today. Stephanie, I'm so excited that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Reverend Ann. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm very excited because I love, you know, talking about this. I could have conversations about it all day long.
I know, right? So I want to hear, like, from you, what to you is a powerful divorce? Because really, you want to, I mean, that's like, so, really? You know, because really most of us, when we go through something like that, you are not feeling powerful at all. So let's just identify what a powerful divorce actually looks like.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I think when I first, you know, start speaking with people about the powerful divorce, they have that exact same question. And, you know, to me, when I went through my divorce, in my situation, it was my ex-husband leaving. I didn't have a choice in that. So for me, I, you know, of course, went through the first denial, the devastation and all of that, but then realized that, okay, this is happening. I had to face reality and get real with it, right? So once I did that, I decided that, you know what, I might not have an option in if he's leaving me, because he was gone. There was no going to therapy, no let's give it 60 days and try to work on it. He was leaving. But what I did decide and what came over me was that I could control my experience through that horrific transition for not only myself, but also for my children. And to me, that was very important because I had seen, you know, from the past through my own parents' divorce, through friends of mine divorce, how it can really affect the parents, so the mother or the father, and then definitely how it affects the children, what they see, what they hear. That goes on to, of course, how they go through their life, how they feel. You know, they feel like they're victims. They feel powerless. So I really made a conscious decision to pay attention to my actions whenever I was dealing, you know, with their father, whenever I was speaking about it to a friend, even if I felt like venting, any actions or any words that I spoke, I really thought about my intention of it first and then how it was going to be heard and seen by others and, again, mainly my children.
Yeah. So for you, it was this real profound love of your children, for your children, that helped you stand in a more conscious place and more powerful place. I mean, you really, like that thing that you said just a minute ago, you said, I had to face reality. Like, I just did this reality check, and I realized this was happening. You were no longer, like, resisting the fact, you know, hoping that he was going to come back. I mean, I'm sure you went through that for a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
But once you made the sort of surrender, if you will, because it goes back to what Kim and I were talking last week about the divine surrender. Once you got to that place of surrendering to okay, he's leaving. No amount of my whining, moaning, groaning, crying, begging, pleading is going to keep him here. He's done. He's gone. He's out. And now what am I going to do? Sort of like that, you're just on the floor looking around and going, all right, now what, right? And
right.
For you, you said, where I want to stand is in a place of power with, for my children, or a place of love, or a place of service, or a place of, I don't know what the word would be, but I don't know if you came up with, I want to stand in a place of power in that moment, as much as I don't want my children to be affected in a huge way by this experience. Would that
right.
be accurate? Yeah.
Right, and you know, and honestly, I don't think I knew till a couple of years later that by making that decision, I was actually standing in my power.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going through the motions of what I knew I needed to do, and you know, started implementing that in my life and my children's, and you know, building a strong foundation, you know, for my new home, and. Through that process of just starting there, you know, my, like I said, you know, my power started with my divorce. But in the beginning of the show, you know, you said this happens. We divorce things every day. We divorce friends. We divorce, you know, employment and things like that. So whatever, you know, your history is or what your hurt is, that might bring, you know, somebody to their power. Mine happened to be my divorce.
Mm.
And from that experience, I started to learn that, you know what, I can use this same power in every area of my life.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, because I think one of the real power that you're deciding is I'm not a victim here. So how, what if I'm not a victim, what, even though I feel like one, you know, right? if you choose to not see yourself that way or be that way, you can then step into a whole new reality, a whole new place. But you have to, even though you're feeling a certain way, you still are choosing to be someone different, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, and that's with everything. You know, everything we do in our life every day is a choice. And, you know, you hear, you know, so much now that, you know, we live our life, you know, making decisions on love or fear. And, you know, I believe that then, not really consciously knowing, but I decided to stop being fearful of the unknown. Oh, my gosh, I was so afraid. You know, how am I going to do this? I'm now a single mom. How am I going to, you know, get my kids to school on time and do everything they need to do? And how am I going to pay my bills? And so I could obviously sit and think about all that and just start in that downward spiral. And I realized that I had to stop. You know, I now was on a path and I was in control of it. And I had two little ones that I was walking along that path with. So, you know, I started making decisions, you know, not on fear. And really, I guess you could say, self-love, you know, what did I need in order to feel safe in my new life, on my new path? And those are the decisions that I started going with.
Oh, that's so juicy. What do I need to feel safe? I love that.
Yes, because you're terrified. You know, any and in anything, you know, if it's an illness that you just got, you know, helping a loved one, anything, what do I need to, you know, do in this situation that makes me feel safe.
So give me an example of that, because I'm thinking about, all right, so let's take this for 1 second into the world of business, because, you know, of course we are the Divine Biz Radio Show, right? So, you know, say a team member leaves you, right? And then the question for the person who is now having the team member gone, because I've had this happen. So for me, when I would, you know, I don't necessarily, well, I do, actually, I do that, ask that question. But it's an unspoken question. You know, it's like even an unconscious question. What do I need to do to feel safe? If it's been someone who has sort of up and left, screwed them out of here kind of thing, you know. One of the things that we do immediately is change the passwords, right?
Yeah.
Immediately. It's like, change passwords of the systems that that person had access to. We didn't know that. We didn't even think about it, right? But instantly, you don't want that person who's left now to have access to your website. You don't want them to have access to your list service provider. That's for damn sure, right? You don't want them to have access to a whole lot of things that they once upon a time had access to because they were a team member, right? So it's like, what do I need to feel safe? That's so good. That's such a great question. And then take the actions that will support you in feeling safe. Like when you were thinking about this, let's go back to your example. So when you were, what do I need to feel safe? What did you need to do to feel safe when you were dealing with that?
For me, in my situation, what I had to do was I really had to look and I had to set a lot of new boundaries.
Oh, that's so good. New boundaries. Give us some examples.
Well, you know, boundaries with my ex for sure. Because again, when he decided he was going to leave, he had this whole vision of how he was going to leave and how it was going to go. Well, I needed to change that because, you know, you are no longer in my life. You don't just get to come into my house, and you don't just get to snoop around. And talking
Ooh.
About passwords, I, you know, changed my passwords on
right,
everything.
Because password has changed, baby.
Because I needed to feel safe. I need to feel like he wasn't violating, you know, my privacy or my new life because he gave up that.
Yes.
He gave that up.
Right. Exactly. Please, you're gone.
Yes, absolutely. And it was hard. You know, it was.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet.
But, you know, I had to do that. You know, even setting boundaries with some of my friends or some of his family members because they would call to check on, you know, the children, but then start conversations with me where I didn't feel safe.
Right, right. I remember that.
Yes.
You know, this a couple times myself.
And you're like, I'm not liking this conversation, you know. So it was just setting a lot of new boundaries with a lot of different people in my life and, you know, setting some new rules, you know,
yeah.
for me and my children
okay.
that made them feel safe too.
All right, new rules, new boundaries, new rules. All right, so
yes.
give us the rules that you did.
Well, for instance, one of the rules was that, you know, whenever we would do child exchanges, it was hard because, you know, you start to try to have a civilized conversation
mm-hmm.
and it can turn and it's in front of the children.
Yeah.
Or even a phone conversation. You know,
yep.
maybe you think you're in the kitchen speaking and don't realize they're just right in the next room and then hear
yep.
that. So one of the things that we did is we put in place that we only did email for a while, email exchanges back and forth. That made me feel safe because also it didn't give me the opportunity to really, you know, when I wanted to vent or go off, I always had that delete button or the backspace. I could erase those words.
That's brilliant. Yeah, because you can't take things back. You just can't.
You can't. And when you're, you know, in a situation like that and you want to, you know, go off and, you know, vent, it's normal. It's normal. You're just expressing the feelings and all the emotions that are inside of you. But as you just said, you can't take back the words that come out. They've been heard or
yeah.
they've been said. So, you know, like I said, so switching to email and even doing children drop-offs. It was, you know, you can come to the door. The children will be ready. That way all I have to do is open it. They say hello. I kiss them goodbye, and they leave. It's not, you know, you standing around in my kitchen while they're trying to get all their stuff together and, you know, something could happen or be said that just starts a whole fiasco.
Right, right. So you did a lot of I want to say damage control, but it's not damage control. It wasn't damage control. It's preventive medicine, preventive
yes.
control, prevent damage control, you know, damage.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah, I'm trying to figure out the right words. But, yeah, that's good. That's really good. So that, like, you're thinking about the situations that could erupt, and you were managing those situations.
Yes. Yes,
so
as
really,
much as
it
I could. As,
very conscious.
You know, yes.
I love that. And so, again, back to being in business, I'm thinking about, like, well, how do you manage, you know, situations similarly? I mean, I've never had anything that sort of rancorous, you know, I guess, with people leaving. It's usually been pretty amicable for the most part, although, you know, there have been a couple of little not so amicable situations, but I've never had to do massive amounts of damage, preventive damage control. I'm just thinking about what that would look like.
Well, I think, you know, when you're working with, you know, team members, everybody has different personalities. And, you know, you might have, you know, the greatest person on your team that can do everything, you know, technical for you, which that is amazing because I'm the most technically challenged person. But, you know, that person might be great at that and get everything you need, but maybe when you're dealing with them, their personality is, you know, a little bit different than yours. So if you, before you have a meeting with them or before you go to them with a new project or task, just thinking about how am I going to present this to them or what are the right words that I should say to them so that they receive it positive or, you know, get excited about it. Again, you're just kind of thinking ahead, preventing anything that they would take and view it as negative or not, you know, excited about, because we do all have different personalities, but sometimes, you know, the opposites attract, and that's why it works good in business, because what you're not good at, somebody else on your team is, and you, mm-hmm. you know, they shine a light for you in other areas. So I think just thinking ahead of time when you're interacting with every team member, that definitely helps.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So how did you then, let me think here for a second, because of something you just said was pretty great. When you said you had new, like, for example, when you had new boundaries with your friends, what did that actually look like?
Well, you know, whenever you're going through a painful situation, I think, you know, some of your friends, they think that supporting you is by telling you, oh, you know, it's fine, he left you, he's a loser, I never liked him anyway, or, you know, they think by jumping on that bandwagon that mm-hmm. that's actually supporting you and helping you make you feel better.
Right.
And it's not, you know, even though for a second you might be like, yeah, that, you know, no good, whatever,
yeah.
but then you walk away, and it really didn't help anything. It was just putting a lot of negativity out there on a horrible situation. So with some of my friends that loved to do that, I kind of had to limit phone calls or limit lunch dates, things like that with them, and just let some more time pass or just not engage in those type of conversations with them. And then some, you know, it was hard because they wanted to always give me advice, especially if they had been through the situation. But when I looked at their household was just still a hot mess.
Yeah. right.
You know, I've been through that, I know it all. And you're kind of looking at it going,
Yeah, but I'm not doing it your way, babe.
And that's not to say that their way is wrong. It maybe it was right for them.
Whatever.
But
it's wrong for you, babe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that's really true. You do have to do a lot of checking in to see what is the right path for you. And it sounds like that's really what you're talking about here. You were checking in constantly to see, is this the right thing? You were very conscious. This is a really conscious experience.
And it's very hard to do because you can't just make that decision and think that every day and every decision is now going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you have to work on and implement and be aware of it.
It's an ongoing thing.
Yes.
Especially if you're feeling – really, just like you've just been, you know, punched in the gut, it's really, really important to be conscious about this experience. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the things, too, that I learned through the whole process, and I've referred to this before, is I think, you know, when we think of powerful women, you think of, you see the TV shows like The Boss and the Devil Wears Prada, right?
Right.
I don't know if you've seen that, but, you know,
yes.
And the women that, you know, strut in their offices and, you know, own their businesses and they, you know, bark orders everywhere. And that's what I think, you know, society puts out as powerful women. And I discovered that all of us have this special feminine essence that is within us. And we are so powerful when we tune into that and we use that power coming from a place of grace and love, and it is so much more powerful being used that way than when you're using it in, you know, aggression or, you know, this is all about me, and it's just so much more powerful when you can tap into that and use that power in your life every day and in every circumstance.
Great. To me, this is really the essence of intuition, but I think it's actually more than that. It's intuition, but you're also tuning into that feminine power, that place of, you know, I see people doing this, and I'm fascinated by it, really and truly, because it, my husband does this, for example. You know, he is someone who will walk around saying, well, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? My mother like that. My mother's always been like that. And I not so much, right? I'm like, bothering me, you're going to know about it, right?
At least you own that, Anne.
Maybe you see it on my face, you're going to hear about it too. You know, so it's, you know, and I have a harder time with it, and yet I've obviously surrounded myself with people who are really good at it. And I think it is incredibly powerful. And yet sometimes I think, why aren't you saying something? You know, like, if it's bothering you, why aren't you saying so? You know, so like, I'm curious. Let's talk about this, because I think this is, there's a fine line, don't you?
Yes,
yeah,
you're so absolutely right. And
stick on that one, because baby, I mean, that's juicy, right?
Yes, and when I think about that, you know, what you just said is that, you know, sometimes you're thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, why am I not saying something? To me, sometimes.
No, I really do. I don't have that problem. I have the other problem. I'm like, Anne, shut up.
And, you know, my mom used to always tell me, too, if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. So for me, I see the power in, the more power in being just in silence. You know, it doesn't mean that just because you don't say anything doesn't mean you're agreeing with what they've said or what they're doing. You're just choosing to let them express their emotions and their actions, and you're just choosing to be silent about it. Or you can choose the other way, and you can let them know how you feel about the situation, but when you go to express it with, I call it, love and grace. Because when you express it using aggressiveness or, hey, wait a minute, you know, sometimes then that sparks something in the other person, and then a situation that you didn't think was going to happen starts evolving. So
that's
what I do, you know, and it's hard, believe me. Sometimes I have to just be silent, and then sometimes I'll go away, and I'll think, how did that make me feel? You know, do I want to respond to that? And then I can come back later from a different place and say, you know, that conversation we had earlier, and then I can let them know, but still I'm in control of my power.
I love that. So for you, what I'm hearing, actually, about this. There's a tremendous power in being conscious of your communication. And that power is all about consciousness. It's all about checking in with yourself. It's all about looking at what are the ramifications of saying something versus the ramifications of not saying something, or looking at how can I say this? You know, there's a whole world. You know, have you heard of the nonviolent communication? There's just like a ton of books written on nonviolent communication. So it sounds like to me, this is a lot about what that's about. It's really checking in. It's really listening. It's really being present and understanding what, you know, if I say this, what are the ramifications of my saying that, that little thing, right, that little bit?
Yes. Because
and how can I say it with love and grace? So give us an example, a good example, because I'm fascinated with this.
Well, you know, and like I said, sometimes it's just stepping away and thinking about it and coming back, because in situations where we are just reacting to something that we don't like what we heard or we don't like what we saw, by just the reaction, that in a way is giving away your power to that person and their actions, which we don't have control over. We can't control other people. So sometimes being able to walk away and think about that and think, okay, what didn't I like about that? You know, what specifically did I not like about that situation? And then, more importantly, why didn't I like that situation? You know, maybe it's something that triggered something in you from a hurt that you had when you were 10 years old. Well, that person doesn't know that, you know. So that is what when I talk about, you know, speaking in my actions, I have to think about what that person said or do affect me. And is it something that really affects me now, or is it something from my past that I just still have that hurt from? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and I agree with it 100%. You know, I think about just in my own life when, you know, when my husband annoys the heck out of me. It does happen.
It happens.
It does, yeah. I mean, he's wonderful. He's just a fabulous person, and he sometimes just, you know, gets under my skin, because that's what happens when you live with someone. So, you know, one of the things I have to do is go away to calm down first and think and get some perspective and do exactly what you're saying. You know, like, all right, Anne, what's really going on here? Why are you upset? You know, is this where you want to go? And how do you want to handle this? Sometimes I just need space to just clear myself. I do tapping, which will help me calm down, and then I can look at it from a different perspective.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, because then you can come back to the situation, and if you still feel you need to address it, you're addressing it now with conscious thoughts, because you've thought about it. You're not just reacting to it.
Right. Yeah, because I know that if I react, it's not going to be pretty.
Exactly, and usually it never is pretty. and, you know, and this can be done in everything. You know, whether you know you have your own business and you're working with your team members, or if you're still, you know, in a corporate job and you're dealing with a boss, or you're dealing with other coworkers. You know, those are just times that you can do that. You know, don't give away that power. Don't react. Let's go think about it. Why is this affecting me? Is it something that I really even need to spend my energy on, or can I let it go?
Right. Okay, so how do you, what does it actually feel like when you connect with that essence, that feminine essence?
Oh, wow. I think it's one of the most wonderful feelings. And I'm only a woman, so that's all I can say, is that it truly, to me, feels like once you connect with that power, you fully know what it feels like to be a woman. We were made to be powerful. And
okay, wait, dude. That's a big one. I just like have to breathe that one in. It's what it feels like to be a woman.
Yes.
OMG. Like, what?
Yes, we are made to be powerful. But we are made to be powerful from a place of love. And, you know, when I went through my my divorce, and actually, you know, not even just my divorce, my whole marriage, 17 years that I was with my ex, I truly lost who I was. And when I started deciding to live making conscious decisions, of course that started me on a whole new path of personal growth. And I really went back to, I had to go back to when I was a child and younger, to think about, who was I? What made me happy? What made me smile? What are the things that I enjoyed doing?
Mm.
And in doing that, I started, obviously, connecting with my soul and myself. And anytime you connect with your soul, your spirit, who you are, that's where you get your power.
Mm. That's beautiful. Elizabeth just sent me a note saying, we want to announce that the lines are open. So, Elizabeth, yes, go ahead. Go for it.
Hi. Yes, if anybody would like to call in with a question or a comment for Reverend Dan or for Stephanie, just to let you know that the lines are open now. The number is 646-668-2211. Or you can call in by Skype, clicking the little Skype logo above the poster. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So say more. This is powerful. This, you know, women come from a place of power with love. And in order for you to reconnect with who you truly were, you went back to what you loved as a child and what you did. So tell us more about this. That's fascinating.
Yes, and I did. I had to go back because I realized that, you know, in that time that I spent with my ex-husband, I had really given up everything that I had dreamed of or that I wanted to do, you know. And so after doing that for so long.
Wait, let me just ask you a question. Why do you think you did that? Because,
you know,
I think people get get themselves into that situation, but they aren't even aware of it. So why do you think that is?
Exactly. And I wasn't aware of it, and you're right. And again, you do this in other, you know, you do this in a daily job. You do this with, you know, friends. You do it because I believe you're afraid of disappointing someone. You're afraid of being judged. You're afraid they won't like you. You're afraid they'll leave you.
Mm.
So you bury the things that are important to you in order to just get along through life.
I think you do it so that you, here, this is my two cents on this. I think you do it because something else is more important. For you, the value of the family was more important. The value of a happy home, the value of a husband who is happy with you was more important. And when that didn't work, you were like, well, you know.
Yeah.
What?
I am not young anymore, and years have gone by, and that did not work.
So that didn't work, so let me try something else. Let's just go back to who I was and see if we can recover her and then have her shine, and then maybe someone who likes her will be perfect, right?
Yes.
I don't think that we do it because we're just wanting to, like, make other people happy. I think that it's that our value is very high, but we don't realize what we're paying to have that that value of, you know, someone in our lives who loves us, that value of safety and security, that value of a happy home, that value of, well, I've got children now, you know, it's like I'm not going to be rocking the boat here because I want them. My value is that I want them to have a very happy life, right? So
right.
Do give up those things so that you can have that, which is a higher value.
Right. But sometimes in that, you also may know that it's not the best situation. You
right.
may know it looks perfect from the outside because, believe
but
me, when
big.
I told
Come
my
on, let's get real. Get real. That is too big to
yes.
be, you know, it's at that point, it may not be the perfect situation, but it's the perfect, it's as perfect as it can be for this, with this conglomeration of people, personalities, experience, you know, all of that.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah, because you do, and you know, and I did. I mm-hmm. you know, didn't want to ever get a divorce. I wanted to be the, you know, the best wife I could for, you know, my husband. I wanted my children to have both the mother and the father in the home, you know.
Right.
And, of course, so I kept going along because I wanted those things.
Yes, those were the high, especially given what you'd gone through, right?
Yes,
yes.
But when I really sat back, and
yeah.
this is when I got real with myself, and we all have to do that and check in. When I really sat back and looked at that, I knew it wasn't the best situation.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretending. And even though I wanted those things, I kept up that, you know, that facade. I kept wearing those masks every day. Because of how other people would look at me,
right.
you know,
right.
what's wrong with you? You know, you've got a husband that provides for you. Why aren't you happy?
Right.
You've got two healthy children. Why aren't you happy?
Right.
You know, so along with, yes, what I wanted because I wanted a happy home. I was married. I wanted, you know, didn't want to be divorced. And I wanted to provide a great home for my children. Really, when I looked at it, it wasn't that,
right.
and I wasn't being true.
Let me ask a question about that, because this is fascinating. You know, really realizing it's like you can feel sort of the divine tapping on your shoulder going, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. And you're like, yeah, yeah, I know, but now's not the time to deal with it. Yeah, yeah, you're living a lie. I know. All right, thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm not dealing with it yet.
I've too many things to do. I'll think about that later.
And then boom, right? It blows up in your face, or not?
Yes.
Blows, like it blows up, and you're like, "Oh, I was living a lie." Oh, so and then all of a sudden, yeah. Believe me, I did this. I went through this myself. You know, it's the divine initiation. You know, that is your divine initiation.
Right.
And while it may be you're living a lie, you're living a lie, you're living a lie. It's like, yeah, well, it's too big to, like, even the idea of changing at all is just too big, right? And so something happens that causes you to actually, it forces you to actually look at it.
Right.
And this happens with all of us, right?
Yes, whether and everything. When a situation is not right, you can only live that way for so long.
Exactly.
Because, like you said, the divine is tapping on you.
Yep.
Hello, you need to look at this. Well, finally, the divine
yeah.
is just going to stop you in your tracks and make you look at it. You don't get a choice anymore.
Exactly. Whether it, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your business, whether it's your team, whether it's your, you know, relationship, whether it's your relationship with your kids. You have to clean it up. You've
right.
got to. Otherwise, you're going to have, you know, consequences that are, you know, going to help you clean it up.
Right. And then you realize, gosh, it would have been easier if I would have dealt with it the first time I got tapped.
Maybe. I don't know, because I, you know, like I think about that in my own situation with, you know, what happened in my marriage. And I think about, well, I don't know how I could have done it any differently, you know, other than the 2x4 upside the head, because I didn't know that was going on, you know, that this, you know, awfulness was going on in my own home. And it wasn't until we realized it and then instantly took measures to change what we were doing, what was going on. You know, I didn't know. So, like, I think about that, and I'm wondering, like, all along when it, you know, maybe I shouldn't have married him. Well, that was like 7 years earlier. Well, too late. The dice are thrown. You're in there. You're in the game. You've committed. You're 100% in. You know what I mean? Like, where do you, something wasn't right, but it wasn't, that's too big, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to up and leave because, you know, I've already
right.
made, you know, I've made my commitment here.
And that's going to happen, you know, and again, like you said, anywhere in life, you know, not just in a marriage, but the power is in once it happens,
yes.
like you said, once it happened, I decided then how to handle it and move forward.
Absolutely. And that is so powerful. You know, how do you handle it without being a victim? How do you handle it with power, with love and grace? With accessing that divine feminine energy, that divine feminine awareness, that is the power.
Right. And it, you know, and it's so hard too, because it's so easy to be the victim. It's much easier to, you know, be the victim and, you know, for me and waddle in that for months and months and months. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes that is part of the grieving process to whatever it is that we just lost.
Yep.
But at some point you do have to go, okay, this happened. It happened to me.
Yep.
And now I need to deal with it. How am I going to move forward? Am I going to continue to be poor me and cry on everyone's shoulder? Or what can I do about that so that I can move forward and feel confident about my decisions and stand in my power and be true to my values and be true to myself? And that's all you can do.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, I love, there's something that you sent to me about doing a gut check and, you know, making your decisions from fear versus from, you know, where you want to go. Like being aware of the intentions in every decision, what is the outcome you want and why? You know, like, are your decisions made from fear or love? You know, we want to be making our decisions from love, and we want to be using our communication to be speaking from love and grace, like you've said. So the question then is, if you are making a decision out of fear, you, like, how do you determine and what do you do with that if you're making a decision from fear?
What I do is, and you know what I, you know, tell whether it's a friend or a client or anybody, is you have to break it down. And sometimes you can't break it down all at once. So once you decide, okay, why am I doing it this way? It's because I'm afraid. Okay, what is it that I'm afraid of? Or what about that scares me? Then break it down even more. Well, why does that scare me? Have I done it before? And when I did it before, what was the outcome? Because this is a different situation. So think about this, and I heard this somewhere, and I honestly, I'm the worst at quoting. Even when I talk about stuff in the Bible, I'll be like, you know, the man, that old man that went to the mountaintop, he took his son. I always, I'm the worst about it, but I did hear somewhere.
Abraham, yes.
Exactly. I'm like, and there was this old man that went to the sea. He was being chased by these soldiers, you know. So I'm the worst.
But yeah, I am.
So, but anyway, I did hear somewhere, someone once said, think about if we didn't have a past, what would you be afraid of? If you didn't have a past, what would you be afraid of? Fear comes for everything that we've done before, everything that has happened to us, things we have seen. So we hold that in. And that's how we make decisions now, because it's like a protective mechanism. We don't want to go there again. We don't want that to happen again.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes it's not even related to a situation that we're in now.
Yep.
Maybe it was a word or just one thing that triggered something, and it's totally not related, but now we're afraid.
Right, right.
So really breaking down that fear and then going, okay, so what's the worst thing that can happen? If I choose to do this, or if I choose to say this, what's the worst thing that can happen? And that's where the power comes in, because now you're being conscious about the decisions you're making, the things you're saying, the actions you're taking.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And sometimes the worst thing that can happen, when you really break it down, you're like, oh, well, that's not so bad. But you built it up in your mind that it was going to be horrible, you know, and tragic. But then when you break it down and you sit and you do that, you're like, okay, well, that's not so bad. I could deal with that.
I'm thinking about just thinking about breaking it down and being aware of the worst that can happen. This is for me where tapping comes in, because when I get present to the worst that can happen, I can then tap on whatever the fears are that are showing up. And that then clears me for being able to take action, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but sometimes you don't even know what that fear is or what's going to be happening. You know, like, you're not even present to it. It's just so.
Right.
Say it's like understanding I'll just give a little example. I spent a week in sort of this space of malaise, is what I called it. And I did some work on Monday around what the malaise was about. And it was an old fear. And I did some work on clearing that fear. And, it cleared up. I had a little help with that too. So, but my point is that I wandered around for a week just kind of feeling,
mm-hmm.
about something, right? And that to me, I think that's a very important space to be in. But then you have to recognize this is stopping me from whatever, you know, whatever it is I want to do. So now what do I need to do? And you have to move through it, but you have to get present to it. And then you have to do something about it. What do you do? I mean, I don't know that you do tapping, do you? What do you do when you get present to the fear, when you get down to the bottom of it?
You know, I am new to tapping, actually, ever since I joined your group. But I love tapping, and I find it fascinating. And what I do mainly for me is I just have to be still. And I know for everyone it's different. Some people need to go run. You know, some people need to go swimming. Whatever it is that is your stillness, even though that's not being still, but it gets you just in a frame that you're just in this movement where things
yep.
aren't crazy. Whatever
yep.
that is for somebody. But for me, and when I say break down that fear, you know, it might be a 5-minute session you have with yourself, and you can say, you break it down and go, oh, okay, well, that's not so bad. I got it, you know. Or it could be a process, like you just said. You kind of wandered around for weeks, but the thing is, you were aware of it. You knew there was something there. You knew it went deeper, and you did what you needed to do to process it and then face it and then release it.
Yeah.
And that's what the most important thing is, because – like I said, and I think you even mentioned it, it wasn't even related to that situation. It was something from a while back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what the important thing is being able to sit and recognize it, that, wait, I'm making a decision out of fear here. Then why? And then start breaking it down.
And I think the procrastination, for the business or even in your life, is about the fear as well. I really do.
Oh, absolutely.
And by the way, I want to make sure we have time for you to share what your gift is, because we're running low on time here. So tell the listeners what you've got for them.
Well, today, for anybody that's listening, and if you wanted to go more into this and deeper into it and, you know, try to, you know, figure out where you've maybe given up your power or how you can get in touch or, you know, find your power within. Maybe there's an area in your life where you're feeling a little bit powerless. I'm offering a session with me, and I'm not sure, Reverend Ann, how that's been given out, if it's a link or whatever that is, but I know there is a code.
Give us
and
a link. Do you have a link?
Yes, there is a link.
And we'll put that on the Facebook event page, the Facebook Divinely Intuitive Business page. We'll put it on the Blog Talk page as well, and we'll put it in the chat room for those of you who are accessing the chat room. So go for it. We're going to plaster it all over.
Yes, and what it is it's a basically it's a 45-minute clarity session with me.
Nice.
And anyone listening today to this talk show, there will be a code with that link that when you actually go in, and the link is just to my calendar, you can just go in, schedule anything that works with your schedule that's available, and you put in the certificate code and it waives my my normal fee.
Okay. Well, tell us what it is.
What is what?
It's StephanieJoJohnson dot acuityscheduling.com.
Yes.
And then the code is Divine2014, and it's all caps, Divine2014.
Yes.
So StephanieJoJohnson.acuity, A-C-U-I-T-Y, scheduling.com. Very
yes.
good.
And that's the direct link to my calendar. It's not going to take you to my website where you got to, you know, go through all the tabs and find it. It's going to link you right into my calendar, and it'll show you any appointments that I have available. And, again, just put in the code, and it will waive my fee.
Okay, and here's the other thing. If for some reason you can't find it, you whatever, just contact her. She'll honor it, so don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
Right, so Stephanie, thank you so much for being with us today, for sharing this, the powerful divorce. It is truly powerful, about accessing your divine feminine essence with grace and love, coming from that place, because that's where your power is, for helping us to understand that there are ways to actually access our own divine feminine awareness, and to be able to choose consciously what it is we want, where we want, how we want to go, and to know where our fears are and what's stopping us, and to be able to get to the bottom of it and move past. I mean, it's just really, really powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed our conversation.
Always. Always. It's so great. All right, everyone. We are going to our blessing. I want to thank you all for being here, for being present, for sticking it out, for really learning more about who you are and how you show up in the world. You are here to bring your divine gifts to the world, to bring them abundantly, powerfully, standing in your own power, being connected continually with the divine, sharing your gifts, your light with the world. The world needs that light. It needs the gifts. It needs who you are today. Share it, know it, understand it. Be unabashedly unafraid to be that light in the world. Go get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for being here. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.